The first reading today looks at St. Paul, who was, before his conversion, a terrible persecutor of the early Christians. You know, we hear in the Acts of the Apostles how he tore families apart, he dragged Christians off in chains, and he consented to their executions. He went door to door with his persecution, hunting for Christians. And at the beginning of Acts 9, we even hear how he's following the Christians who are fleeing from Jerusalem. He's following them to Damascus so that he can drag them back in chains to Jerusalem. So he was just this terrifying figure for the early church. And then all of a sudden, in the first reading today, we hear about St. Paul boldly preaching Jesus Christ crucified. You know, complete transformation. The Christians, of course, were still afraid of him, and we could understand that. You know, they didn't really believe that his conversion was authentic. They probably suspected that he was trying to infiltrate their community just to get a full list of names of who the Christians were so he could go after them later. But the reality is he did have an authentic transformation. And you probably can't get two further extremes than if you look at St. Paul, you know, preaching, a missionary, a great apostle, and what he was before that. You know, just this crazed persecutor of the church. And you almost can't get two further extremes. So as we look at this first reading, you know, I think the first lesson we can pull from this reading is to never give up hope on anybody. You know, that includes ourselves as well. You know, sometimes when people are struggling with sin in their life or some sort of addiction, they give up on themselves. Yeah, but if someone like Paul, who was, you know, underwent such a dramatic transformation, it's possible for anybody. You know, when we struggle with family members who perhaps have left the faith, you know, some of them for many years, or people who struggle with addictions, or when we deal with broken, divided families and the tension and anger that can resolve from that, it's important for us to keep in mind that nobody is beyond hope. You know, as long as we're still alive, you know, there's a chance of dramatic transformation. You know, sometimes it might be beyond our ability to help people with our human limitations, but it's not beyond Christ's ability to help them. And so the first lesson is to never give up hope in another person or in ourselves. And the second lesson is, what is it that brings about the transformation in Paul? You know, it's an encounter, a powerful encounter with the risen Lord. You know, that single encounter transformed Paul's entire life and his entire personality and what he was dedicated to. And then one encounter with the risen Lord can do the same for us. And I think it might help to imagine what that encounter might have been like for Paul. You know, when Jesus Christ appeared to him and said to him, you know, why are you persecuting me? And I think the one thing that happened as a result of that was Paul realized that everything he had dedicated himself to in terms of persecuting the church was completely wrong. You know, the path that he had set himself on was the wrong path. And he came to realize that totally and completely. But then that wasn't followed up by a rejection from Jesus Christ. You know, Christ doesn't say, hey, you are persecuting me, you are persecuting the church, here's your punishment. Get ready. You know, that's not what Christ says to him. What Christ says to him is, I have chosen you. You know, he calls Paul into this close, intimate relationship with himself. And he says, you will be a chosen instrument to bring my name to the Gentiles. So Christ sees right through the disorder in Paul's life and calls him to what he was created to be, an apostle. And Christ does the same thing for us. You know, when we're on the wrong path, he sees through that. And he doesn't seek just to punish us. He seeks to call us to who we were created to be. You know, often when people follow a path of destructive behavior, you know, whether it's alcohol or some other type of addiction or whatever the disorder is, oftentimes it's because they're internally wounded that they follow that path. You know, no clear thinking person is going to wake up one day and say, "Hey, I think it's a great idea to try heroin. Let's see what happens. Let's see if this is a good idea or not." You know, people don't do that. They do that because they're internally wounded, and sometimes those wounds come very early in life. You know, some form of rejection or abuse that they've suffered, or some sort of insecurity, you know, as a result of a broken family or whatever it is that they experienced. And those destructive behaviors can be a way to numb the pain or for people to temporarily escape reality. You know, they think they'll find some sort of relief there. But those behaviors, whether it's alcohol or drugs or sexual addictions or other disorders, you know, they never heal the pain. They never cure the suffering that people are undergoing internally. But an encounter with Jesus Christ does heal the pain. Because an encounter with Christ is an encounter with someone of incomprehensible love. And when people suffer interiorly from these wounds, whether it's some sort of rejection that they experienced, they meet someone and they have an encounter with someone who accepts them completely and totally. You know, or someone who's dealt with insecurity as a result of a broken family encounters somebody that they know will never reject them or never abandon them. They encounter unconditional love. So this encounter with Christ, you know, has the power to heal the wounds that people have internally and to transform them. You know, the unfortunate thing is how few people actually experience the risen Lord, like St. Paul experienced. You know, so often our Lord is waiting at the door of our hearts and he's knocking, but we never open. And a lot of times people turn away because they're not interested and they flee from Christ and they flee from organized religion rather than running towards him and seeking that encounter with Christ that has the power to transform them and to heal them, especially an encounter with Christ in the Eucharist. And the third lesson that we can learn from the first reading is immediately following St. Paul's conversion. That conversion leads him to the church. You know, he meets Barnabas. Barnabas brings him before the apostles. You know, we don't serve Christ alone in isolation. When we become Christians and when we have an experience of Christ, that leads us to his family, which is the church. You know, the Catholic Church is the family of God. And we see in the first reading how it's a close-knit family. You know, the church is united together under the apostles, and they bring Paul before the apostles. And so too with the church today, you know, we're united by the successors of the apostles. And so when we have an encounter with Christ, it's not an encounter in isolation, but it's an encounter that brings us into his family, the church. And so as we reflect on this first reading, we learn first and foremost to never give up on another person, never to give up on ourselves, but to trust in the power of the risen Lord. You know, power that's so great that a single encounter with our Lord can overcome any darkness or any sin that we're experiencing in our lives. And so on our part, you know, we should seek that encounter with our Lord, especially in the Eucharist and in the church. You know, an encounter that will transform our lives and change everything, and to seek our Lord preeminently in his church and in the Eucharist.